keep it down a bit. We'll talk to the intro here, right? Right, good evening. Very despondent room tonight after what was a terrible win at the weekend for the football club. We managed to just scrape past West Ham, get the 3 points on the board with only one win to go. So what we did was we tried to find the most negative lads in the group and bring them in and have a chat about the game and just call out all the mistakes that's going on, mainly Lovren. So if you reckon Lovren is the worst defender in the world, this is the podcast for you. In tonight, anyway, I have Sean Lawson, because he lives here. You all know that vagrant, vagabond, homeless person, lives outside in the south. He got a vacuum cleaner during the week. He smells an awful lot better because of it. And then we've also got Jamie Holmes in for the first time in a while. We managed to get him back in the group, and we've managed to bring him back into the bunker. And then, of course, join us then is our own Jurgen Klopp lookalike, Neil Gray. Thanks, Neil. Looking well. Nice good jacket as well. Good nabbing.
Grey boy nature.
Grey boy nature, indeed. Fräulein. Anyway, so, lads, next up is the match. Right, gents, good evening. And how are you all this evening? That's good. It's all good.
Fifth and this, that.
I know. It's the warm up. The periscope was the warm up. It's like, you know, before a match, you have to get a bit of a sweat on before you can get into the main event. So we're into the main event now, and it's everyone's feeling great this evening. There's a lot of love in here tonight. There's very little anger. Neil is on the positivity bus.
Yeah,
he's parked the van.
I've parked me. Oh, it's bubbling away in the back.
Now as well.
Yeah. Well, now let's not go too far.
He's parked the club out van, and
she's gone in for the DOE,
Phil.
He's jumped on the Champions League choo choo for the for the last week.
I've just decided what's the point.
Yeah,
because you've drained me. You know what I mean?
We've broken you quicker than we broke Jamie. Yeah.
And I can't even speak. I'm only going to say you broke me the opposite way. I'm gone good.
You're gone good.
I'm good now. Yeah, oh, I was a prick. Now not anymore. I'm in a special help group.
You're like a stormtrooper who's decided. Now this shit's not for me.
Finn.
Yeah, Finn, who just made his name up because it was like 3-2.
I know how he got his name, Phil. Yeah.
Finn the Stormtrooper?
Yeah.
There was a Stormtrooper called Finn.
There is now.
Did you not see the last movie?
I'm not a big Star Wars fan.
And then shut the fuck up, Connor.
That explains a lot.
That's what I was like. I wouldn't have given a Stormtrooper the name Finn.
His name was F.
You know, like when you get
I completely understand it now. So you don't really get the dark side thing. So that whole movie would be lost in him. Like, you know, Darth Vader. No, going to take him down this time. James,
there's
like,
definitely
no.
A bit of Anakin in him, though. That Wolves game.
The Wolves game. There is a dark side.
There is.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
Everybody needs a bit of Anakin in them. Sure, his missus was very happy.
Whoa. There all night.
Till right to the end, when she died. That wasn't good.
That's heavy.
Every relationship ends up bitter, Phil.
I know. Well, and then he...
on a positive note.
Then he goes around killing everyone. Everyone.
You swear we didn't bash West Ham 4-0 yesterday.
West Brom? Was West Ham, man? What?
He said West Ham.
Anyway.
Don't get me. You barely had enough to get me. This is my house now.
It is your house. That's the problem. Right. So joining me tonight, I've already said it in the intro, so I don't need to say it again. Anyway, Jamie Holm, welcome back into the bunker. A resident scouser, occasional contributor to the Anfield Rap.
Good to be back.
Well, nice to have you. Neil Gray.
How are you, Phil? Are you all right?
How are you keeping?
Oh, good and hood here.
Your hair's looking well.
It's fucking deadly, mate. Everybody's going to have this in a couple of weeks. That's how I roll.
That's how you roll.
I just consulted a stylist.
Can I ask you something?
That's the Champions League edition.
Your hair is bizarre the way it grows so quickly, and then you get a cut and then it grows so quickly. It's like you do have, like, don't you know those Play-Doh people that you push in and the hair just comes out the top? And then you chop the top.
I wondered where
off.
He was going with that then.
Somebody just puts the hair in your back and it just comes out the top of your head.
Mr. Wiggy.
One of them things.
I'll give you one thing, Neil. I've never seen silver.
That's where it all goes.
I've never seen silver play though either.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
it
is
mate.
Good. Yeah, when you have
been
kids.
Been borrowing Steve O's highlights there as well.
I've made highlights.
Nice little bit. Tipex.
All natural, my boy.
Straight in, squirt the lemon on the head, going in the sunshine. Always works. And as well, if you want to get a really good tan, cover yourself in baby oil and then just hold tin foil up to your face. That'll really work
so
a treat.
You can burn your
love the way everyone looks at me then. The orange scouser in the corner.
Try and set the formula.
Right, so let's start with Jamie. Jamie, you are the most positive human alive I've ever come across when it comes to Liverpool Football Club. You must be basking in this positivity today, are you?
I'm happy, mate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Yeah.
I think more so because
talking to the microphone.
It kind of felt like that game. Like, it was that moment, all the little points that we'd sort of taken throughout the course of the season, and everyone was like, are we going to do it? Aren't we going to do it? It came to a head at the weekend, and it was sort of win or bust, you know what I mean? And a lot of people have labelled Liverpool as bottlers, and this was the game to show it. I had confidence going into the game, surprisingly, you know.
Really?
Shock.
Yeah, would you believe it? Because of the team. And I just think for a long time now, we haven't been able to field genuine quality on the pitch together. We've been missing key players. And when you see Sturridge, when you see Lallana, and you see Coutinho in a position where he can influence the game, I was really confident. And I just thought, looking at it, you can get one goal up, their heads will go. You know what I mean? They've got nothing to play for. That stadium seems like it's dead. It's not like Upton Park where you give the fans a sniff and they're on
top of you. What ground is
that? Golf.
What?
PGA.
No, what ground was it?
I don't know what's it called now, the London Stadium.
The London Stadium.
The London Stadium.
Must have taken them fucking ages to come up with that.
What was that one called that they used to play in?
The bowling
ground. Oh, they changed the
Crumlin Bowling Ground.
2 weeks to go until they left the bowling ground. Where the fuck did that come from?
In my head,
so, to be honest with you, beating them 4-0 was definitely
they've totally fucked up there, not to go off on a tangent, but they are fucked up. They had something special. And that's, I think, the same with Everton. You know, you've got one of those old school stadiums, horrible to play at, fans on top of you, and then you move to these modern stadiums with running tracks and it just saps the atmosphere. So Liverpool just needed to get one or two goals up, or, you know, and they had nothing to play for. The most pleasing thing for me, not to skip ahead of the agenda that we never have. But in the second half, we were in a position where we went, right, fuck yous.
Okay.
We're going to go for it. And we'll
come back to that when we start analysing the game. Shaunie, you know, you've been a fairly positive singer of the top four. We're on the way to the Champions League. Woo-hoo-hoo, there's no issues here. So it must have felt great to see us still in third coming into the last week of the season.
Look, we've been limping since... When March, looking at me. No, it's been a long time since we've seen a performance like yesterday. And it would have been unrealistic for any of us to think we were capable of doing that again, because we are missing so many key, well, missing Mane, basically. We haven't seen that sort of going forward intensity. Like, we were pressing high up the pitch again yesterday, winning the ball. But the main thing yesterday I took from yesterday was we'd players playing in positions where their qualities were heightened. Like, Origi didn't have his back to goal for 90 minutes. We've seen a lot more of him. Sturridge had someone there who was occupying space, so he had that yard. Coutinho was deep at influencing games. He wasn't coming in from the left doing the same thing for 90 minutes. We've seen a completely different performance yesterday, and it was such a relief to think
We still got it in us,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because if he had a limped yesterday, another 1-0, I don't think the spirits would be as high going to Borough, because we're thinking, look, we're just going to have to grind this one out. But now everyone's thinking, Jesus, if we go again, not for better team. But that same 11 on Sunday, I mean, should blow Borough away.
Neil.
Phil.
How are you?
Couple of elements, Phil.
Couple of elements.
Firstly, we need to cool our jets a little bit. It was only West Ham and they were on holidays, right? Just not going to start off with that, right?
It was
a very, very impressive performance. But the couple of things stood out for me. Firstly, was I've been quite critical of Emre Can throughout the season, but yesterday he was absolutely brilliant. I mean, you were talking about the press. He was pressing in the final third, which is what we've seen. It may not have been him, but at the beginning of the season, we were seeing that. So we were pressing high up and winning the ball high up. And like you were saying, I was kind of reiterating what Sean was saying, Origi kind of, It's like as if the penny dropped. Jesse finally understood how to play that position. Maybe it's a little bit unfair on him when he's playing in a front three centrally on his own. I don't think he has the nous to understand that I have to give up the next 15 minutes of being involved in the game and just keep him making runs to stretch the defence. I don't think he knows how to do that. But when he had a file of Sturridge there, he wasn't afraid of leaving a space available. Yep. Sturridge was filling in for him, so that kind of worked perfectly. Apart from that, everything went swimmingly well.
And it was good to see Klopp make that call as well.
Put his balls on the
table. I think he was forced to a little bit, though. Sometimes necessity is the mother of all invention, too. You know what I mean?
It's 38 game season. Yesterday was the 37th game. It was the first time he tried that in the league. We haven't been great since November, if I'm being honest. That change could have been made a lot sooner, because Sturridge, although he's had his injuries this year, he was more available. He's been there on the bench games where he just wasn't used at all.
Do you think that was him as a body on the bench? Because I think if he's fit, remotely fit, he plays.
Firmino
plays first in the front.
Don't get me wrong, Klopp made the change yesterday, but like, let's not pretend he's not stubborn to this. Because
of course he is. Yeah.
It's his 4-3-3 way of playing. And Phil, you hit the nail on the head yesterday. He should use yesterday as a template for these teams who are going to employ a low block, two banks of four. Because you've seen the difference it made yesterday when you had Sturridge. He was making them runs. He was on the shoulder. John Collins, like, for the fourth goal, Lallana is just floating around in the midfield. John Collins goes, do I stay, do I go? Mm. He literally takes 2 yards a step. Sturridge has that instinct. Doesn't matter how much pace he's lost.
I know, but
just has that.
It's speed of throws.
That's it, bang.
It's not rocket science.
No, it's not.
An idiot wrote this last Tuesday.
I know where this is going. I'll put that up there.
I'd put two top players
yeah.
Diving midfield.
Get me a fucking bucket.
Let him have his moment. Go on.
Systems aren't rigid, but we need to ask questions at our centre backs, and playing Sturridge as a lone striker is pointless as he's not made for that, right? I'll put it this way. I know I wrote it, right? And I meant what I said. I said, play Firmino behind them, Coutinho, Wijnaldum and Chan holding the midfield, right? Now, whatever happens that forces into that situation, the basis of this was that the last time we scored a shitload of goals against a team that wanted to sit back and defend against us was that Southampton 6-1
away. 6-1 away, right? Yeah.
Without Mane. And it wasn't like, honestly, I know we discussed it as well, that we've been continually coming up against this, and Steve also said it last week. He says, we just seem to be banging our head against a brick wall, trying to do the same thing with players in those positions on a week in, week out. Jesus, was I delighted. The first time I thought to myself all week long that, yeah, we're going to do this today, was when I saw the team and I saw that we'd gone
actually
to
actually excited
top.
To watch a game.
Yeah. I'm saying, Jesus, it's a diamond. Like, even if it's not a diamond midfield, even if it goes with a flat four across the midfield or does something, right? We know that Coutinho's not going to play as a wide left player. And we know that, you know, on the other side, Wijnaldum's not going to play as a winger. And it was just, it just seemed to be all coming together that actually, yeah, he's looked at it and he thought, you know, this is where I can get the best out of it. And even when I look at, when you talk about the Firmino, right? I'd said to play Firmino behind the two, because when he played for Hoffenheim, that's where he was at his most creative. It wasn't as a central striker. He was playing behind the two centre-forwards. And you could see that he likes to play through the middle. But when he plays through the middle, when we have Mane and Coutinho off him, he tends to drop in to create the space for the two boys to get past him and almost operate as centre-forwards. So I just felt finally a penny sort of dropped with him, and Klopp, for his way, sort of said, well, fuck, if they're going to put up banks of players against us, I can't afford to go with just one central striker, because three centre-backs had he played the previous week's team, the one against Southampton, he would have played Origi against three centre-backs.
Yeah.
That's a nothing game.
Yeah,
well,
that becomes a nothing game. My only pity, is that it seemed to take him that long, and maybe some events with the idea of Lucas picking up a knock and Firmino picking up a knock to force him into.
I think it was. Yeah, I kind of think it was forced, because I think what he's done, I think since January he's looked at it in blocks of games, and I think we've been missing key players, and he said, right, What can I do to get through these blocks of games? And he's kind of made us a team that we're not usually, which is grind results out. And we've relied on little bits of quality, the likes of Emre Can, penalties here or there and things like that.
It's been
enough to get us through those games. And if you look at Southampton, it wasn't a game that we needed to win, because I think he looked at Arsenal and thought they're probably not going to go back-to-back-to-back and win games. Whereas when you look at this now, and that nearly worked, lads, as well. Don't get me wrong. If Milner tucks that away, you've scummed another 1-0 and we're sitting pretty. But I think for the first time now, he's looked at it and he said, hold on, I can actually, with Firmino being out, it's time for me to get the main lads on the pitch. Lallana was a little bit injured, I think, for Southampton, so he couldn't start. He was back at full throttle. Sturridge, we know, is only effective when he's got somebody alongside him, and Origi vice versa. So he said, right, this is the time. I'd love to say the penny finally dropped, but I think it was more his hands were
yeah, that's exactly my point as well. I think that for a lot of the season, Klopp has a predetermined lineup, the 4-3-3, and he's been forcing players into that into that system that weren't suited to Origi in particular. In my position, isn't suited to it. I don't think he's clever enough to play that position.
I don't think he's selfless enough.
I think he wants to get drop back with Firmino and Coutinho and get involved in the nice little ones and twos around the edge of the box when he should be stretching the defence and creating places for them.
There's very few strikers in the world who can actually play up top on their own like that, though.
Yeah, but he should.
Ibrahimovic is Lewandowski. But at the same time, as well,
it's not that complicated to sacrifice yourself for 15 or 20 minutes and to create the space for the other two lads to work in, you know what I mean? I just find it very frustrating watching Origi sometimes.
They're top tier players, Phil. They're top tier players. We haven't got them.
But there's a reason why teams then are able to play that system, because they've got the top tier forward to do it. Like, as you said, very few. Now, you're looking, even Daniel Sturridge can't. And that's why I want to go on to Sturridge, right? Sturridge has never, ever, ever played well at in his time at Liverpool when he's been a lone central striker, right? He's always profited. He's always looked the top class centre forward that he does when he's got another centre forward there to do it, right? And that, again, on Sunday, it's just that little bit of space that Origi creates for him, because he's occupying a centre back and he's allowing Sturridge to isolate himself against one of the centre backs. Because I'll always back Sturridge to get past one.
When he squares him up, they're gone.
Yeah. So the fourth goal. It was a Cresswell.
They had given up.
But Cresswell, no slouchy. Pacey enough, lad. Sturridge stood him up, two step overs. He was like backing off, and then boom.
The thing is, that
turn of pace that was supposedly gone, he just dusts him.
See, now this is what I want to say to you. Right, everyone has said, look,
he's just
lethal
half in around the box.
A yard or 2 yards slower than he used to be.
Right?
Over 25 yards.
You looked at that fourth goal he scored on Sunday, right? Yeah. And you look at the way he creates the space for himself, and it's the ball puts him 10 yards clear, and straight away he looks quicker than he has for a long time.
I agree completely.
But it's levels, though, and I look at levels, and I think Phil Coutinho and Sturridge operate on a different level, and I'd actually put Lallana in that bracket now as well. The three of them see things, they see the game differently. So Origi would never have made that run, and Coutinho wouldn't have lifted his head to look for Origi, because 9 times out of 10 nothing comes of it. He knows that Sturridge is going to make that run, and boom, it's away. It's like effectively was Phil dropped deep. I actually expected to see Lallana in the middle and Phil a little bit further up, but actually materialised that Phil was deeper. And that way he was able to recycle the ball, and he trusted Lallana in the pockets to say, you have it. Either take 10, run at them, or give it me back. And you could see that his head was on a swivel looking for those two, whereas I'm not a big Origi fan, but if you look at what he's had to deal with over the last 3 months, he's had Emre Can and Lucas Leiva getting their head up, trying to find them. It's too slow. So as a forward, you need Phil on the ball, bum bum, it's gone.
But how many times have you seen Coutinho to Sturridge? 13, 14, even the 6 months between them, when Sturridge just joined, them same movements.
But again,
just grew accustomed to it, and it was happening the whole time.
But that movement's become available because, one, Coutinho was being played in the centre midfield.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh no, I 100%
agree. That 4-0 in 13-14, it was Henderson, Gerrard, and Coutinho in the centre midfield that day, and Coutinho took them apart. Right. Yeah. But as well as that, Sturridge had Suarez alongside him. Suarez is world class, and like he's on a different level to every single centre forward we've had in the last God knows how many years, right? But at the same time, his presence created the space for Sturridge, and it just proves that in having Origi, you don't need to have a world class centre forward alongside Sturridge.
You just need somebody
by a centre half. Exactly. That's all you need.
Do you remember when Ricky Lambert was at the club? Now don't start laughing, right? But
Steve-O scored more goals at Anfield than Ricky Lambert.
It is true.
Did you know that?
But in the first game of that season, Sturridge started up front as a lone striker against Southampton that day in Anfield, and Sturridge looked like a lost boy and did nothing. He brought Lambert onto the pitch with 15 minutes to go, and Sturridge scored twice before the end of the game. And it just clicks.
With Sturridge, it's not like you said, Phil, it's not rocket science.
But
you've seen yesterday as well, Lallana, the runs he was making when Coutinho was getting on the ball deep, and he was dragging West Ham players all over the shop. They didn't know whether to stick or twist. The two boys in the middle. And then Sturridge as well, who has... you don't give him the credit, he's a great finisher now, but he's a serious footballer. When he drops
he's good enough to play, that's it, exactly.
Even the second half, start of the second half, Origi just makes the run and Sturridge just slips him in behind, and it's the first time, even with Mane, I've seen players going in behind and Jamie, those using that
but Jamie,
that's so hard to defend.
Not only does it increase like the one thing we've talked about, the stack defences and the whole lot, but when you've got that amount of movement in from players, right? So Lallana, you've got Coutinho obviously on the ball and also moving around when he hasn't got the ball. You've got Wijnaldum, we'll come back to him in a minute. You've got Emre Can, and then you've got Origi and Sturridge up front. Like our problem when we played against deep line defences is we've just basically went side to side.
Yeah.
And then looked across balls.
Yeah. That's what, like, being at that Southampton game and watching it for 90 minutes, it was all so methodical. Like, it was the same thing. It's going to Milner, I'm going to cut in on his right, I'm going to put it in. I said this last week, Coutinho, I'm going to go inside on me right. Yeah, we'll just show you into traffic all day.
If anyone wants to hear Sean talk about that last week, minute 26 to minute 27.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That was the difference.
What I would say about Sturridge is, right, he is that good at what he does that he nearly dictates that you play two up front when he plays to get the most out of him. Right? The thing is, and it sounds like an obvious thing to say, he's only fit 70% of the time.
I agree.
So it's very hard to build your whole tactic and your squad around playing two up front and then for 30% of the time.
No, that's why.
And then you revert to the three, but then Origi isn't good enough to play. I mean, it's getting a happy medium. I mean, I think we should keep Sturridge just because he's so good.
Yeah, right?
As a squad player, but certainly not as your first option tactically for the advanced positions. He's so effective yesterday, but it's really difficult to base your whole ethos around him when he's so fucking jelly like.
Yeah, this is what I want to ask you.
And it's
you.
So frustrating.
He's got a great combination with Coutinho, right? He's come out after the match and he said all the right things at the end of the match, right? But the common acceptance up until the match yesterday was that Sturridge would be gone at the end of the season.
That's what makes it such a shame is because when he plays, the whole team lights up.
And we'll see next year if he does go down. Now, hopefully, he's levels above West Ham.
Yeah, but then he becomes a West Ham player because he's injury prone. So that's why we probably got a sniff at him. Do you know what I mean? Because he had the same problems at Chelsea. When he's fit, he's one of the best strikers in the league. And I literally hold him in that high of esteem. But for me, you just can't rely on him. And Nilo said there, you're trying to build combinations, patterns of play, a way of playing. How can you build him into your plan if you can't rely on him?
Okay, I ask you this question then, right? Because it seems to me in my head, you can accommodate him. You've got a lot of money now in the summer to spend. It came out this evening that we're going to receive £140 million sterling for finishing where we finished in the league.
Fair play, league.
Right?
Fair play. Tenner for that.
The top six are getting 140 million each, and then Chelsea gets another 150 million on top of it. Like, this is the type of money we're talking about that the teams are getting for the positions that they're getting in the league. That's without us generating a single penny all season long, just for where we finish in the league. Plus, whatever, if we get into the Champions League straight away, you've got to, if we manage to finish toward.
Is that just prize money?
What's the difference, Phil, with the third and fourth? Do you know?
Three becomes four.
In terms of what? Because per place, obviously, the prices fluctuate. Do you know what it is?
It was Sporting Intel tweeted it earlier on. Right. I didn't see the full thing, but his headline was that the after Chelsea get 150 million, then everyone in the top six get 140 million each. So there must be X amount then from 150 million. So it's the share of TV money and obviously share of the prize money and all that type of stuff. But that's fucking huge money. So without us even generating a penny, that money there, you'd imagine is available. To spend plus whatever else on top of it. Then if you're saying you're into if you finish toward and you know you're guaranteed into the group stages, right? From memory, it was 5 million per match in the group stage. You play six matches, which means that you've got another you're banking just on taking part 30 million alone for being in the group stage.
FSG would be fucking delighted with themselves.
You're on about 100. You've made about 100.
A new baseballer.
Well, you've got 170 million. You've now got 100. We're talking about this 200 million figure
without player sales as well.
Yeah,
so we'll get some serious dough there, I reckon.
Okay. So I'm looking at this. We're saying, you know, you can't build a team around Daniel Sturridge. However, Daniel Sturridge is not a unique in terms of style of forward, Neil.
Absolutely not, Philip.
Where I'm going with this is, do you go and sign another similar style of forward to Daniel Sturridge, which allows you then, over your league campaign or Champions League campaign, where you're going to come up against these defences that are going to sit deep against you, to play two strikers?
Yeah.
And use this as a method of getting at this so that teams can't just set up all the same way all the time against you. They have to, and if they set up a different way, then you revert to your three up top and you do something. So you look for another similar type striker that's going to fit in into the Firmino grap, and you look for something there. And then you also look for someone that's similar to Sturridge. And like most Champions League teams, you have four top quality strikers. Mm-hmm. You're going to have six to eight midfielders in terms of attacking midfielders, and in, across your defenders, you're going to need two players for each position, and potentially two defensive style midfielders, or you know.
I think the problem is, Phil, though, to find somebody of equivalent ability to Daniel Sturridge who plays 80% of the matches is going to cost 70, 80 million. Someone who's as good as him.
You've got 200 million.
No, I know, but listen. The point I'm going to make is, I'd be very surprised if Liverpool spent that much money on one individual player, because it hasn't been. We have done it in the past. Yeah, I know we've broken transfer records, but that's not how we roll at the minute.
And
there's been no indication that we're going to do that. So I'd be very surprised. Anyway, Klopp plays 4-3-3, so whatever.
I just look at the way we do our business, and I think FSG and Klopp took a gamble this year in they prioritised a couple of positions in centre midfield and Mane out wide and Matip come in. And it worked because they made such a difference, probably more so than any of us in the room thought they would. But there were still areas where we needed to improve. So the likes of left back, we absolutely need a left back. But Klopp and the club thought to themselves, all right, look, let's have a go here, see how we get on. Let's gamble on top four, let's keep a bit of money back. And if we get top four, then we'll go all out. I'd love to say now, if that gamble pays off, that we're going to go, here, lads, there's fucking 200 million, go and knock yourselves out. The pessimist inside me says that we're going to be quite pragmatic with how we do our dealings, and we'll prioritise again maybe two or three key positions, and we'll go big on those two or three. Now, is a striker going to be one? I'm not sure. I think we'll probably look at centre midfield again. I think we'll probably look at centre back, and I think we'll look at another winger, and that'll be where your big bucks will go. And then you'll look at the likes of a Sessegnon, for example, who can come in at left back as an understudy to Milner and try and bring those players through. But on those key three areas, it's fucking 30, 40 million. Yeah. I just don't know if striker is
but I'm saying
those.
We've played this way before, it worked, right? We've played with two up top, and we tend to make more chances against teams who want to sit back and defend against us. Isn't it though that you're saying, well, I'm keeping Sturridge exactly for that reason. Yeah. He's under contract. We don't have to sell him.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us to sell him.
We're looking at it now at the diamond and the two up top, because it was Sunday when it was played. But even if Klopp does use the template next year in the games against the lesser sides, we're still going to play 80% of our games in that 4-3-3. So, like Jay said, I think what you'll do is you'll try buy something as near the Mane as you can for the left side, and he'll use Firmino in that centre-forward role. Because, let's be honest with you, doesn't score a lot of goals, but if you look at the goals created by him and his work for Mane and the likes, if he had another Mane there, I understand having another striker, say, like fucking balls out, Lacazette, in beside Sturridge, and it all sounds fucking so good to us, but
okay,
just can't see it.
The one thing, just to finish off on that point, and it's a good point, the question is, you look at Firmino, yeah, he doesn't score enough goals, but what he contributes in terms of the goals that he's been involved in is massive. Let's say you look at a Lukaku, for example, right, who's going to get you 25 goals a season, but doesn't do much else. And if he's out the team, then what does the team do? You know what I mean? So you're weighing him with 15 goals spread across the team.
There's a simple solution to this, and just sign Higuain. Because he'll score 100 million goals for you, and he'll do everything.
He won't even go training, right?
Won't even go training. Doesn't need to go training.
Doesn't even need a parking spot.
Doesn't need the parking
spot. Doesn't need a parking spot.
He's there. He'll live with Sean.
Yeah.
Just in the ground.
He'll turn up
in the canteen.
Turn him a torso knife for points.
Yeah, points. Points with the lads. I'd score 3 goals at the weekend. He walks his bollocks off. I don't know how he hasn't lost anyway.
No.
He walks his sack off.
He literally must. That beard is fooling that.
No way.
Six chins on the league.
You can actually see them jiggle as he runs.
I think I seen a bit of fried egg in his beard the other day.
You know, it's always terrible when he falls on the ground. And you can see him holding his stomach in. And when he hits the ground, you can see the jiggle.
What a fucking player.
He's deadly.
He's a 1990 striker, isn't he?
But he'd fit in our team. Because he'd score loads of goals.
He won't fit in the jersey.
He won't fit in the jersey, but he'd fit in the team. Come here, I want to go back to the match. Let's bring it back to the match. And the reason I want to bring it back is, you know, we talked about Coutinho. It was an absolute magician yesterday. It was a masterclass put on by him. Wijnaldum, to me, it was a tale of a season. He was relatively poor the first half, and he was excellent the second half.
Yeah. For periods.
Yeah, but this is my point. And myself and Jay have had many a bout over this one.
Consistent theme building here, isn't it?
It's the longest fight going on in known football Christendom.
Longer hanging in there.
And it was I feel that, you know, Emre Can, when people look back at Emre, they say he was pretty shit for most of the season, right?
No, they will.
He's been really good lately.
But my point is that himself and Emre, himself and Wijnaldum have more or less had the same season. And people are telling that Wijnaldum is a massive success this season, right? My thing about Wijnaldum is that he scored goals, as I said before, in the big games. But he's gone missing a lot. And yes, the second half of yesterday's match was the first game in about four or five games he turned up and made his presence felt on the pitch. That volley, if it goes in, you're screaming at the television. You're screaming at the television.
Yeah. I wanted that to go in just because it was him, and I'd be like, see that one, Phil? Yeah. See that one? Now, I think that's a fair point, to be honest. I think I actually agree with you, surprising. If you look at the two of them, first of all, Wijnaldum is a superbly gifted technical footballer. But he's not reliable enough for me. For the money that we've paid, I think he can be brilliant, and I think he can go missing. And I think and you've said it yourself, for that level of money, you want more consistency. But I think that's for our team, though. I think you could say that for a lot of
that's a damning indictment of a midfielder that you go missing. I mean, that's the one place you cannot go. You can go missing fullback.
But he turns up for the big games, though. And this is why I think it's kind of...
We all do. Our whole team turns up for the big games. It's the shit games that were crap at.
But that's what I mean.
Not to use the double negative, but we're shit at the crap games.
Is this a Wijnaldum thing, or is this a Liverpool thing? Because it seems consistent that a lot of our players don't show up for those lesser
games.
But
he does get there. He gets the brunt of it. That was the tale of him coming from Newcastle, even, that he doesn't play away
games.
From
home. I heard a stat coming from the bunker, which is a new one. He's recorded 10 assists this season.
More than any other player.
Which is crazy. You know what I mean? So if you look at
what Scaldi won yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, that was a shot. That was a fucking shot, that second one.
Come here. Let me just finish on Chan, because I've been quite critical of him at the start of the year. And in hindsight, it looks like he was injured. Reports are coming out that he was injured, and I think he's one of them. He's a heavier lad, so he needs a little bit of momentum. And then once he's in his stride, he's a Rolls Royce footballer. I think he's actually now becoming a leader of the side. Mm-hmm. I'm a massive Jordan Henderson fan. You just know that. I think what Henderson has over Chan is he moves the ball quicker, he recycles the ball quicker, and I don't think it has to be an either or now.
Yeah, but he didn't have to worry about that yesterday because it was Coutinho.
So that's what I mean. I think we just want options, doesn't have to be I want Emre or I want Jordan. It just means we've got actual competition.
If Emre
can't
just stop taking that third touch when it's that unnecessary touch.
But it's always against the lesser teams when he's got too much time. If he plays against the top team, it's bump bump because he knows he hasn't got it.
Chan did really well, but again, I think the answer, as I said to you, to the Wijnaldum thing, is that he always plays the level of the worst opposition player. So when you're playing against the best teams, he's fucking very good, and when you're playing against the shit teams, he's not there. But now,
how would you rate his season overall? What ranking would you give him out of 10?
7. Could
reach
do
bit, what? What do you say that? You like your own joke there,
yeah,
fellow?
I do, yeah.
What did you say?
What ranking you give him? I'd say I give him reach around probably. I wasn't a huge fan at the start, right? He did grow on me as the season went on. I got annoyed then when I did start to like him that he went missing again, right? Pissed me off. I said, right, I'm letting you in here, I'm letting you in. Then he came in and pissed on me furniture, basically, right? So it was just like, I'd give him a 7 out of 10.
You are saying we look at it differently. Chan's had a better season,
you think, overall?
Yeah, 100%.
I'd give Emre Can.
What do you want from your midfield? I suppose they're playing in slightly different positions, but if you look at end product and contribution,
he's been there though. Chan has been there.
Chan has been the leader of that team since Henderson went missing, and he's been a better leader in that you can see him trying.
He's kicking seven bells
of shit out of lads on the pitch as well. Again, the problem we had was we moved him out of his best position when we had to play Lucas on the side.
Yeah. So
we dropped him back into sit at the bottom of the midfield, right? And he's going back to your point. And he was happy then to give the ball to Coutinho, or he's able to play it to Wijnaldum, and he's not sitting there trying to look at options.
Yeah. I don't have to break it up and create. Yeah. Let me just win the ball.
You can normally tell what sort of game Wijnaldum's going to have after 5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. Because if he's in around, he's jinking in and out of players, he's popping the ball around and saying, look, he's on it today. Whereas, he did come alive yesterday in the second half. Whereas Chan, if he sprays the ball out of play, he'd be bursting his lungs, get the fucking the ball back, move the ball around. He doesn't go hiding.
I think yesterday just showed And look, I've said enough on the Periscope when it came to Lucas, but look, I just think his time is up with the club. I think we can do better. I think we move the ball quicker. And I think one of the keys, a key thing about against these teams is that you have to move the ball quickly if you want to pull a team that's just going to sit back against you out of place. That's why Coutinho works in that system. That's why Wijnaldum, when we did get the space, then comes alive, because he has those little pockets of space to operate in and can find a spot, find a gap, can find a bit.
He's technically brilliant.
He is. Mm-hmm. Then again, I think Chan is just better holding that bottom of the midfield than Lucas is. And if I was playing Henderson, I agree with you. You can put Henderson into any of those three positions in midfield, right? Mm. He's more flexible. I wouldn't move Emre Can out of that position anymore. I was saying, right, that's where he's best at. Only in the case of injuries, or I want to go with two deep line midfielders or something, would I change it.
Well, you've seen Henderson do it ridiculously effectively when Gerrard was the deepest, and Henderson was probably doing the work of two players.
14-14.
So, but this is the thing that pleases me the most about Liverpool at the moment, is we've seen, okay, our hands have been forced, but we've seen us be probably three different teams, in that we've been this free flow and attacking 4-3-3 side that absolutely mills. It's like the Red Arrows, like runners from everywhere. Then you've seen us go to the likes of Stoke, West Brom. There's another one in the
Watford.
Horrible places to go that we usually buckle, and we've ground out results. So I didn't think we had that. Now we've gone back to the two up top, and we've looked lightning. We've got key players to come back. If you look at it now with maybe three or four quality additions, we actually have a side that can adapt to the opposition with multiple options. And that's the thing that's done us this season, is we're two or three injuries away from being bang average. You bring three or four into that side, We'll be right up there, I think.
I'd definitely go a few more, just because I think with Champions League or Europa League, with the amount of games that we're going to have to play next season, we'll need five or six in the window.
I've heard it all before.
No, I'm just saying.
Not a three or four players will be right up there next season.
Well, that's the way
same
it
is. 25 years.
Yeah, but we are up there now, though. That's the thing. Like, we got 60 points last year. We've got 73 already with a game to go. Right, that's a massive jump. Now, okay, yeah, we haven't had Europe, and we tossed off the last couple of games last year. But still, level of the teams around us, I think, has gone up this year. I think it was 66 got the top four last year.
Yeah, last
we were 6 points off.
Yeah, it's still something to compare against, mate.
I want to close out on the match itself, right? Listen, the goals are great. You know, you look at the ones like Sturridge's magic, Coutinho's goal. I really enjoyed our third goal when Wijnaldum elbows the player, handles it, right? Gets away with it. The ref is looking at him saying, "Nah, that's grand. It's grand end of season." Not
do you know what I like that? Just give fuck up if he's on the ground.
He's on the ground.
Who cares?
The West Ham fans were going mental as they were booing, and they could see it coming, right? And Coutinho got into the box, and it was similar to the one the previous week when Coutinho breaks into the box.
And he could have went down.
He didn't go down, right? But this time,
he literally stood on the bar.
He rattled it into the back of the net.
He stood on the bar for about 10 seconds and just smashed it into the net.
Smashed it into the back of the net. He had a trademark finish into the bottom corner as well. And then I loved the Origi goal. That's your classic Origi goal.
I wanted to string it on. Didn't square at the start.
I could just imagine Paul in the sit there rubbing the butter all over himself. I'll give up the most Origi goal ever.
He loves a Scotty, but it's either a deflected shot or just like it just falls at his feet and just toe pokes into the back of it. It was great, but there was a few ugly things yesterday.
The corner.
We have to mention the chance with fucking
IU chance is a turning point in the game.
Would that have been the most Liverpool goal ever to concede when Mignolet caught it? And I thought he was going to roll it into his own net. I was like, oh, would you fuck off?
No, Lovren just tugs on Yoke's shoulder for no reason. Like,
he's a wimp.
Just tugs on his shoulder.
I'm doing my job, Gaffer, honest. Yeah,
yeah,
fuck,
that's
got him.
Yeah, the cameras. And then he was like,
as I was talking about this, well, we were talking about it in the group earlier on in terms of zonal marking. People give up about zonal marking and a whole lot. Our issue isn't the force ball. It's what happens after the force ball.
Yeah, so it's the second phase. Always the second
everyone
phase.
Everyone just stops. Because I looked at the picture again of when IU was sliding for the shot, right? And if you actually look at it, there's another West Ham player standing in the middle of the six-yard box about Lovren. And Matip are behind him. So IU has reacted, and the West Ham player has moved into the middle of the box now, right?
Mignolet had done well for that as well, I thought.
Well, I thought he did well at the very last bit. I thought he's done very poorly on the follow-up shot. Whatever about the fourth shot and it comes back out, right? The second one literally goes through him like he isn't there. Bounces off the post, but he reacts well.
They didn't score, you know what I mean?
I think the problem is, though, is there's nobody in that back four or in any set piece that takes ownership of anything. Right. They have a zone and they're like, right, okay, when it goes out of my zone, that's my job done. And everybody just washes their hands.
Not.
Exactly. You've got to, and this is why Klopp, you can see him get so frustrated because, yes, lads, you're marking your zone, but there's also got to be a bit of cop on it and say, okay, it's out of my zone, but there's a free man. I'm going to step to the right and I'm going to make sure he doesn't get a free shot.
Yeah, but it's nobody, like, nobody, I know exactly
it's
what you're
like
saying.
They can't make Warriors in-game decisions. Crossed,
it's like, yeah. If it's someone, when, like if an attacking player moves from the outside zone closer and into the goal, it's in, the fella in the initial zone isn't tracking him because it's on his zone. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
This is what I was saying.
You still follow your man whether it's a zone on thing or not.
It's like hardwired to be zone on the whole time.
But this is what we were saying about when you're trying to figure out the zone of marking is, what do you do once the ball has passed your zone?
Yeah.
Right? So it's our players seem to wait to see what happens with the ball after, right?
Yeah.
Instead of, once it's gone over their zones, they need to then readjust.
Reassess.
It's like match control, I'll delete.
Yeah, you stop. No, you do. You stop being zonal at that point.
And you,
and
track
you start
your
reacting to the situation. I'm not even saying it's nothing to do with man. It's you turn and you see where the danger is and you go into that position. Right? So if the balls have come back past, if it's gone through past the first, second and third zone, often when it's going to the back post, let's say, right? So that means you've got generally 4 to 5 players in those positions. Anyone watching this the next time, watch it. Because as the ball goes past, our players don't move from the positions that they've just been holding. Yeah. But the opposition team, all the players move.
Is that tactical, though? Or is that, like, I'd be very reluctant to believe it is tactical. Surely it's just they just don't understand.
No,
it.
I think they're turning off.
At that level, professional footballers switching off.
It's happening too often for it not to be.
That's why I think it could be tactical.
But if it was tactical, it could be easily fixed.
Yeah.
And it's not easily fixed, but that's why you see Klopp getting so frustrated because he's like, I don't know what to fucking say. Yeah,
If we three can understand that, you know what I mean? Where's the mental block there, the lads who are doing this every day of the week? Why can't
I can guarantee it when they're doing it in the I'll come back to that in a sec, right?
We're against ourselves in training.
We're against ourselves in training. Have you seen how bad we are in set pieces? In set pieces, we're marking the shit out of each other and everything. It's brilliant.
Still has his garden time
and then we go out onto the pitch against another team and they're like, they're going, how did he do that?
You mean I'm playing sweeper in training?
as I said to you earlier on, I said when you look back at that chance, the only two players that react in the whole box are Sturridge and Origi, and both of them are forwards.
Yeah,
all our defenders are stood still in their zones waiting for something to happen.
But I coaching though.
That's what we're discussing. I'm very, very reluctant to believe that it's.
A lot of players can do zonally effectively.
Yeah.
I personally like a mix
Rafa
of the
loved
two.
But it
has to come down to individuals making split second decisions, and that's where Liverpool's problems seem to lie. Is our in-game management or ability to manage games and situations is very poor. When do people score worldies against us? We give away goals through poor decision making. But one point I wanted to make there, just quickly, if you look at the perfect example, is the goal against Everton at Anfield, right? I think it was Jagielka made an obvious run to the front post, flick, and then every single one just stood and looked, and the young lad tapped it in.
But that goes back to my point. So the first zone,
yeah, exactly.
It's ended. As soon as they see Jagielka going for that ball, right, and it looks like he's going to win,
my job's done.
You need every single player that's behind him in the other zones then to react to that second ball, and not one reacts. The only people that react are the Everton players who are expecting Jagielka to get the header.
It's the best way to defend set pieces is not to attack the ball. Not for way for the opposition to do.
But that's why if you have a mix of zone and man marking, right? So you're two centre backs.
We don't attack the ball.
But that's what if you get right, he's a good header of them for them, he is, right? Two centre backs go and mark him. He's your man, you're culpable. If they score, it's your fucking fault. Don't let him get a run on you. Then you get 3 or 4 people marking zone. So usually you'd have that guy in front, you'd know, being a keeper, the guy at the front post on the edge of the 6-yard box. If anything comes in low, you know what I mean, that's your ball. You just attack the ball. So you have 3 spread across the box that all they do is just attack the ball.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So then you have a mix. And then at least, I just think our problem at the minute is nobody is responsible. So it's not like you go, you fucked up there. Because half of them, it usually lands in between zones. They can go, that's not me, it's not me.
See, again,
I'm not at fault.
And that's the problem.
I don't have an issue. I literally have no issue with zonal. Once you realise when the zonal stops and the second phase begins, and our players don't seem to have any awareness of when the second phase. The idea in their head is,
well,
when the second phase.
Well, if we can say that, then obviously
no,
they
no,
can say it.
No, no. But I wish they could, because every goal we've conceded off a set piece has come off a second phase play. It's not coming off the force. Like, if you look at even the Benteke header against against Palace, it goes through two zones, right? There's two chances to miss the clearances missed, right? Our goalkeeper hasn't reacted to the ball coming across, and the lads who are there with Benteke are still standing in their zones, even though the ball has now come through two zones.
We're so static. I seen an example there the other day of Fabregas, right? And when he wasn't on the ball, he was constantly swiveling his head, taking another picture of what was around him. Yeah. Look at our back four. Yeah. They never turn their head. They just focus, they ball watch, and then as soon as something happens, they react to that. Yeah. It's not like they're proactively going, right, if this goes off his head there at the front post, I know I've got to react to this guy because he'll be free.
The perfect example would have been the Boyram chance yesterday early on. Now, I know people are blaming Lovren for not marking a fucking right wing back.
Lovren was meant to be covering 97 yards on the pitch.
Yeah, but like as Jamie said, if Lovren's head's on the swivel there and he sees Boyram steaming up, he could just drop in a little bit.
See, but this is, and we touched on it today, right? I think everybody clambers to blame somebody, and usually Lovren, right?
But they
said in studio, right? On the Carragher said it, right? The flaw to the system is the quick diagonal, because fundamentally you can't do two or three things at once. So you see when they keep the ball, little touches, quick switch, usually you'll have a Milner out of position, which means the two centre-backs have got to go across. They can't mark two people, so there is a genuine flaw in the system, whereas everybody's like, oh yeah, it's Lovren. That it's not Lovren, it's the system.
It's the obvious way to exploit it is a cross-field ball from the into the center.
They actually pinpointed Klein, I thought, first 15 minutes. They were getting a lot of joy down the right-hand side.
I think there was just something create the space on Milner's flank, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I don't hate James Milner, but I just think he's been exposed so much now as a fullback position.
Come here, not to be too facetious, right, but you know how you solve the zonal problem and the marking problem and the defensive problem? Sign really good defenders.
That's a very good shout.
That is this bond.
Anyway, look, and the aim is not to bring it down, but I just think
it really is.
Every team is targeting our left side ultimately, either on second phase balls or as a channel to attack down. Now, we were talking about that they went down Klein's channel, but they were going down Klein's channel to about
to create the space.
30 yards out to pull our defence across. Because Milner is not good at coming inside and covering the space. So it's just opening that channel all the time. And then it's a diagonal. And the Boyram chance comes from a diagonal.
Yeah.
By pulling Klein up, pulling Lovren and Matip in towards the ball, which is what you want. And then Milner was out of position.
I have to say, though, right? I think playing in our back four the way the Klopp wants him to play, it's a thankless task. As a centre-back, you're constantly exposed.
100%.
Imagine being a centre midfielder who's right-footed playing left-back in that system.
Now, listen to me. Here's the thing, right? And people need to cop this on for next season as well, right? What's going to happen is the centre-backs we need to sign aren't necessarily big names. We need to sign centre-backs who are very good at defending the space behind them.
Hmm.
Because where teams are going to try exploit us all the time are the space behind
us. Which is why Van Dijk is perfect, because he's absolutely rapid.
But he's been injured.
If you look at his attributes, though, this is the key. If you clip the ball in behind him, he'll just fucking burn you off and knock you over. So he's got that recovery run in him. Whereas
reading a thing about him, sorry, I think it was The Independent I was reading about him, and he was saying that the biggest criticism of Van Dijk is that he tends to switch off at times.
He's definitely a Liverpool player.
I don't know much about him.
Neil, I wasn't sure we were signing them until you just said that. Now it's definitely.
What you wanted to read was
500 million.
What you wanted to read was his worst trait is that he never switches off.
That's like when you go to an interview, you know, they say, what's the worst point?
I can't turn off!
I always just want to be on time. You know what I mean? But I was reading, I was just going,
Is that what I come out with?
Show camp as well?
I don't know. Anyway, I'm just very comfortable with me saying
that.
I can't remember your man's name, but he was saying, he's that
good. Can we just go back to that? What happened there?
Let's just move on, Jay. No, anyway, listen, carry on. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just carry on, man. It's horrible.
Right, so look, that was the game. We need to get a fucking fan going.
What happened to us decorating in here? I thought we were getting Liverpool flags and everything.
I'm on it, lads. I'm only at the moment.
He's waiting to be sure doing a deal in Magnolia.
Sean, it only took him a few weeks to Hoover. Right? So the flags are next.
Okay.
We're going to welcome in Sean, like the bus. Anyway, part two.
Are we Speaking of Bus, are we going to do that on Sunday?
Which?
Are you going to do that?
Well, we're on to the preview of the match, so let's talk about that. So I believe, right, lads, let's be honest. One game left, home match against Middlesbrough. What could possibly go wrong? Well, I'll tell you what could go wrong. Arsenal could be 4-0 up with 70 minutes to go. We give away a free kick and Alvaro Negredo scores off a fucking set piece. That's what could go wrong. And then wait till you see the fucking eruption of fume and anger that goes on after that. However, Jamie, that's not going to happen, is it?
No.
You sure?
I think we win 3-0.
Imagine what I'm going to be like then.
Mingle is due one as well, isn't he?
We didn't give him any credit.
He's doing.
This is what freaks me out about you lot, because you say all this negative shit, and if you say it out loud, it's going to happen. So just don't say it. Don't rock the boat.
Okay, the law of attraction. What's the opposite?
I'm telling you. Well, go on, what is it?
The law of distraction. That's what fucking Van Dijk suffers from, is it?
Tends to switch
off. What's going
on?
Oh, no! Free kick. So, look, Pancake is due and mistaken, right? So, how many goals do we need to score on Saturday to win?
7.
We need to score them on Sunday, so don't worry about Saturday. Anyway, Jay, Sunday. Same again? Any changes?
Probably Firmino in for Origi if he's fit.
So now I was Firmino in for Wijnaldum.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell.
Fucking hell.
Elaborate, mate. Go ahead.
Put him at the top of the diamond. I'm just drag Lallana back in.
Back in?
Yeah.
Fucking Coutinho,
Lallana and Coutinho.
And Firmino fucking wrecking the gap in the middle.
Think I've got
that
a semi
would destroy.
On there.
Imagine you're
television.
Fucking Bob Paisley over there, tactician.
Honestly, imagine you're a centre half or a midfielder. You're not going to want Anton the ball with him running around.
How you don't know who to mark. They're all running everywhere.
I think.
It's like literally the Benny Hill music would be going on.
I think if you're going to go for it, why not?
I don't know why we just changed anything. Everything went swimmingly well yesterday.
Well, I'm sort of with Neil. I imagine Burt are going to come and try win, and if we score early,
they're really not good though, lads.
They're not.
This isn't a West Ham coming and or a Southampton who have got good footballers who are being told to block spaces. Middlesbrough are not very good at football.
Is Victor Valdes fit?
You know that? I don't know, Philip.
No, he's not.
I don't watch non Liverpool games.
I prefer if it was the Riverside or whatever they call it nowadays.
I would prefer was
Ayrton Park.
Ayrton Park.
Spainy Slevin up front. Little flicker.
Robbie Musto,
the Ramsden jersey.
Yeah.
Classic times.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're not very good, Jay, but we want to sign the left back.
Their left back got us a hold.
No, with all the left backs.
Hold on, does he switch off for long periods of time?
What?
Does their left back switch off for long periods of time?
He's been switched off since January.
Then we'll have him then.
I'd have been worried going into the game if we hadn't played the way that we did against West Ham, but I just think looking at Phil dropping back into the hole, I think it's a different game now.
Do you know who's in Netsville?
Yeah.
Guzan.
See, now that fucker, right?
Just take shots.
Well, yeah, you think that. I was in Anfield when Aston Villa beat us.
Did you hear what happened the weekend? He took Southampton's striker down and he went clean through and the Middlesbrough fans started singing, send them fucking off! Send them on!
Yeah. I was in Anfield when Guzan played in goal for Aston Villa and we couldn't even get a shot in goal up against him that day.
And judging by live score,
Stuart Downing's playing for them as well.
Judging by live
score, don't start putting this stuff out there, Phil.
Judging by live score, Antonio Barragán is that backup keeper because Valdez is injured. He played for us, didn't he?
Barragán.
Oh, now he's not a keeper.
Lads, imagine being Liverpool, right? You've got a win or bust game at home to Middlesbrough. Arguably the worst team in the league.
Second worst.
Who came bottom?
Sunderland.
Did they?
David Moyes.
Me doing my research again there. Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, they're both muck. They're coming to Anfield and we're going to
They're both even from the same town.
We're going to hockey them. The difference is
I think they play in the same stadium, to be honest with you.
I mean, I'm buzzing off that 4-0 yesterday.
You're not playing Lucas and Chan at home. You're playing Phil Coutinho picking up the ball and running at you. They'll shit their pants.
So there's definitely
not a scrap of nerves. There's not a scrap of nerves. It's just going to be like, we're just going to keep putting the pressure on. This is going to be heavy metal football because Klopp will say, you just stop.
He's ripping out all the cliches.
Ain't that shit?
I'm a walking cliche.
He had Rolls Royce.
Did I say Rolls Royce?
You mentioned talent now, you're getting a low.
It's a game of two halves.
He has the talent now.
Got to go touch with a big man.
Grujic.
I'm all out now. Anyone got any others?
Fuck off.
Any other cliches?
Real club,
man. It'll be a game of two halves anyway.
Oh, there he is. Phil's here, all nice.
Grant.
What else we got?
Sean, you're from Middlesbrough.
No, just around the corner.
Just around the corner in Tala. You know, Are they the Smuggies or is that Sunderland? No, it's Middlesbrough. Are the Smuggy bastards?
Smuggies?
No, they're not. Not no.
They are the North East, yeah. Yeah. They're all the same. Newcastle, East, yeah. Sunderland. Newcastle.
The Mackhams.
The Mackhams are Sunderland.
The Muggies.
The Smuggies.
Oh.
Making that up, Phil.
No, I'm not. It's in one of the podcasts. Paul Brennan was over at a match and they couldn't get tickets to Newcastle.
If this information came from Paul Brennan, yeah. Are we taking it as...
No, it is gospel.
Oh, of course.
Oh, well then, Paul Brennan.
We called a podcast after it. The Smuggy Bastards.
The Smug. Anyone Google that one then?
Nah, we bought it.
It's something to do with chimneys and the northeast and stuff.
Listen, realistically, right? I think I fancy us to beat them. I do. Yeah. I fancy us to beat them, but but I fancied us to win our last couple of matches at home as well, and I was ultimately disappointed.
I like that change of Firmino in and Wijnaldum. But then against a home match, so Wijnaldum normally plays well in the home matches. There's a bit of a
But like your theory, are you gonna go full on your theory? Is he going to play to fucking the standard of Adam Clayton in the middle of fucking
Middlesbrough? Come here, if
Arsenal
player
you too.
It doesn't matter, does it?
If Arsenal drop another point.
It's his cousin.
It doesn't matter.
He's around the corner on talent. That all makes sense now, Phil.
If
Arsenal draw tomorrow night, then top four is guaranteed. But they're not, so they're playing Sunderland.
Yeah, they've got two of the easiest fixtures you could have, because Everton will.
Everton are going to roll
up. The best bit was Wenger was out today trying to stir it up. Now, if ever I saw a more idiotic quote, it was Wenger coming out today giving out that West Ham were on the beach for the match against Liverpool at the weekend. As he goes to play two teams who he wants to be on the beach in Sunderland and
Everton.
Yeah.
No, they will be on the beach.
Well, sure, the fans and all.
They might not.
They hate us,
Ronald Koeman had a fucking red Christmas tree, all right?
Me and you are going to have a sit down. I'm going to tell you a few things. You're so innocent.
Ronald Koeman had a red Christmas tree.
Till the bitters kicked off, though, and they're so bitter. Like, their whole season, imagine if they were like, we could stop Liverpool getting top four. Like, that would be fucking brilliant for them. There's not a hope in hell they turn
up in
that
game. All the stuffed humans that they have there in the stand will be like, they'd be really good.
Ronnie is a red, though. So there is hope.
Yeah.
Who? Ronnie's a red.
Ronnie Koeman.
Is he? I talked about Ronald McDonald.
Well, he's yellow.
I completely switched after. Again, the Everton are just going to roll over.
Of course they are.
Doesn't matter, lads. We'll deal with it on our own,
will we?
Yeah,
it goes down to that we have to win.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, is there any part of you that's worried that we won't win?
No.
Okay, football
complete,
ever.
Complete
Sean, I'm going to ask you the same question.
No. Not after the way we played yesterday.
Okay. Neil.
Yeah, I'm very confident, Phil. Okay. Even more confident than I usually am. But okay,
not to try to put doubt in your mind, right? But let's think about
it. He's going
to
give it a good go, though. Fuck's sake.
Fucking right.
This is what makes us lose.
Dr. Doom. Here's Dr. Doom now.
I'm just looking at the bottom three in the league, right? So Middlesbrough are the only team that we haven't dropped points against.
You're a prediction on that. Can we run it back?
So, Sean, are you confident that
we will.
As a caveat to that, Klopp is getting away with fucking more.
Oh my god.
Right?
You're doing so well, Neil.
No, but listen, I'm just going to leave that there, right? I'm not going to say nothing more.
You can't do that.
I am.
Why is he getting away
with
more?
He's the manager of Liverpool Football Club, and all of a sudden we're buzzing because we're getting fourth.
That's because we came eighth last year, mate.
He was in charge.
We're getting told.
This is not acceptable.
We're getting told,
we got to two cup finals.
Did we win them? May as well have went down the first round. Irrelevant.
Who
wants a silver
medal? Can I just give a suggestion to aid the confidence level? If Dejan Lovren, if you listen, can you please not do any interviews in the week leading up to the match?
God.
Don't
also,
think
it'll
be
the cup final.
Yeah, also, Lucas, could you please not give any interviews dealing with the match in any way, shape, or form? No. Yeah. Leading up to the game.
Oh, Messi says that. Nah. That's okay.
Send Lucas and Gerrard in a little holiday.
Literally, and if we could please send Steven Gerrard away on a first class trip to Australia for the game in Sydney to celebrate the Champions League match. A Champions League qualification, I'd really be up for that, because we were top of the league until November and then something happened in November.
What did Carl say in the group the other day? This does not slip.
No, lads, I still can't handle that. It hurts me badly. I'll never get over that. It was more
Crystal Palace for me, mate.
Nah, it was the Chelsea.
It was more Crystal Palace for me.
See, as I said to you all, you're too young to remember 89.
No, I'm not.
Because that was, if you think that was bad to slip, right, to only have to lose 1-0 at home in the last game of the season. Nothing can go wrong here.
Nothing can go wrong here.
This is where it started. This is where we lost. This is where we lost you to the
I was
side.
12.
Well,
that coloured how I watched football. Up until then, I'd watch Diego Maradona. I'd watch us win a double in 85-86.
That was revenge.
It was the awakening. It was like, the football is the greatest thing ever. And then Maradona appeared. It was like, this is the most amazing thing ever.
87,
88.
That was revenge of the Sith for you, wasn't it?
We had Helton and we had fucking Barnes and we had Craig Aldridge. Johnson. And it was this is the best thing in the world. Then 88, 89, and then we get, and all we have to do is lose 1-0 at home. In our last game,
we'd only conceded about 4 goals that whole season.
The whole season, we conceded. Yeah. This wasn't the Klopp defence.
And then we signed Michael Thomas. What the fuck?
Hang on, Neil. Oh, it's Liverpool's title, and Arsenal have done so well to get this close 1-0 tonight. John Barnes just has to take the ball into. Where's he gone? He's running to the box. Go back into the corner. That's not the trophy. That's John Lukic. Don't give him the ball.
Had a breakdown on air.
Hit him,
Phil. Are you alright?
Hit Lukic. Don't let him kick the ball in.
Plug him out.
Plug him out.
Stand up, Bruce. Stand up. Brian Moore screamed, it's, oh my god, it's Arsenal title. Imagine it, Anfield. And yeah. If you want to know why, I've never been positive about football.
We got the origin story of Dad Vapor tonight.
That was the moment I let hate and fear into my life.
Wow. And Phil was never seen again.
Yeah. Now, anyway, lads.
I think that's an ambulance outside.
It makes sense now, Phil.
Yeah.
After that outburst. Yeah, I can kind of see why. That's deep rooted. Like,
I remember it clearly.
That came from a dark place, lads.
I remember it clearly. It wasn't
Do you feel better after it?
No, because I can go through many more instances in the next 27 years that follows from there. Anyway, right. So a win for Sean. A win for Jay.
3-0.
A win for Neil.
Scaldy win.
Scaldy win.
I'll take that.
Do you know what? I don't think I could fucking handle it. I'd rather be in the Europa League than fucking a heart attack 10 minutes.
They're going to have 2 crossbars in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah. Look at him with the man buns ping out the crossbar.
What for?
Caddy has to be in for the last 15 minutes. He's going to save a penalty. All is redeemed. Yeah, GM.
Right, quick. Okay, so just a couple of
Neil just bit his tongue off live in studio.
He did well there.
So a couple of quick questions, right, just to wrap up tonight. First of all, Sean, are you getting the bus tonight, or are you going to? anyway, where are we? So somebody asked 28:06:42:12. Don't know what that means. Don't really care. Maybe it's something to do with
The Matrix.
Could be.
I think it means the kettle's boiled.
All right. Maybe it's... Is that the code out lost?
Yeah, no, Miss Catsburg.
If you don't press it all the time...
28:06:41 is put the kettle on.
What the fuck happened between ourselves and the Anfield Index? Does anyone know in here what happened between ourselves?
Wankers!
What?
I have no idea. I'm not allowed to talk to him.
28:06:42:12.
So Dave Hendrick created the account.
And I'll say, well, we just decided that our futures led in different paths. One involved us. One didn't involve them.
Yeah.
Well said, Phil.
And they're great lads. Anyway. They are.
Yeah, they're sound.
They are. Should Fred is still working for them.
There's some good contributors and some less.
Yeah, some less good. Like, well, that's what you have on
exactly. It's good to have a range of views.
It's good to have a range of views, and there's something for everyone in the Liverpool podcast and fraternity out
there.
If you're into the stats, or if you're into the agendas, or if you're into, you know, the laughing and the joking and the talking shite, something for everyone.
Exactly.
And that's what people like. That's what you'll go to the one that you like, and you won't go to the ones that you don't like. And it's all good. There's plenty of room in the world.
Except if you're drunk, anything will do.
Anything will do, especially boxing podcasts.
I don't listen to podcasts when I'm drunk, though.
Okay,
what is
egg
the
preference.
Podcasts?
Jamie, egg preference. Fried, scrambled, boiled, or poached?
I'm going through a scrambled phase at the moment.
Yeah.
Massively so, yeah. A little bit of toast, red sauce, scrambled. Jobs are good.
Mm-hmm.
Poached.
Takes a bit.
Isn't there a knack to it, though?
Yeah.
Poached. I've never had the bottle to
drop of vinegar.
Yeah, I like a poached egg.
Just a drop of vinegar in there.
Yeah, buy a poacher.
I think that's the way I want to go.
Just buy a poacher.
Yeah, Pippo and Zaggy to make your eggs.
Yeah, Pippo and Zaggy to make your eggs.
You read that one, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I just googled it. Poacher. Picture paper came up.
Right, what else do we have?
I had nothing when you said that was blank in the air.
Flashback.
Please discuss how badly we missed Henderson in midfield. Why? If Coutinho goes into the middle, do we bust the nut trying to sign a winger?
The reply to that is brilliant.
Yeah. Not sure, this is a reply from James, not sure why we'd need to ejaculate to sign a winger.
Very good.
Couldn't come up with a better one than that. So.
Do you know what? And I'm going to leave it.
I will just say one thing on this. If we could sign Dries Mertens, that would be a very good sign-up for the club.
Yeah. His wife wants to leave Naples.
To go to Liverpool, she said. She said she's a huge Beatles fan. And she's already found an apartment.
She knows the Beatles aren't around anymore. I know.
Shut up.
Don't. We told her.
They're still in the cavern. They're still playing.
They're buried in
the
air.
The oxygen's coming, lads.
Yeah.
Okay, so who has kids here? Oh, I do.
Jamie.
You? Yeah. Sean, you don't.
Not
so
that I know of,
maybe you're the child in this one.
Well, he is the child.
Yeah, because you might be upset when you read this. Now, just
definitely won't.
This one, right?
So, what are you on now, Phil? Three?
Philly McGill wants to know, how do I get out of a 3 p.m. Paw Patrol themed dinner for his son this Sunday?
Just turn off your phone, mate, and go to the boozer. Simple.
How does he get out of it?
Yeah.
He's had a fatal error. You need to do lots in advance of the thing that you want to get out of. Get the brownie points in and then go, oh. You right there, lads? What's going on?
Jamie's trying to talk here.
Sorry.
Giving parental advice here, mate.
Fucking.
Well, listen.
Neil Van Dyke.
I'm the man for relationship advice.
Are you seeing anyone? Are you caught?
Absolutely not.
No?
Very, very bad relationship.
Heavily on Tinder at the moment? So.
A lot of wanking.
Yeah. I've been that soldier, my friend. Yeah.
So how does he get out with Paw Patrol team dinner?
Yeah, he's brained it already. He needs to plan this in advance, do loads of brownie points duties, and then he's easily...
Can I have a say on this?
He's turned himself into a bitch there with the brownie points. Yeah, just go and tell him to fuck off.
You met my missus. That does not work.
I don't believe for a second there's anybody in this world that has ever had a Paw Patrol team dinner. So I think he might be telling Porkies.
Yeah, what is Paw? I don't know what it is.
What Paw Patrol is?
Yeah. It sounds like the new Peppa Pig.
It's not even
like
that.
It's
better than Peppa Pig.
The next generation.
Peppa Pig is a fucking bitch. She's a little bitch and she teaches bad shit to your
bad
kids.
Manners.
Little moany little bitch. Spoiled bitch. Don't get me started on there. But I'm so glad my kids are out of that stage. Paw Patrol's not bad.
I don't like Paw Patrol.
Kids are 16 and 17 now.
Do you know why I don't like Paw Patrol? There's something sinister in a cartoon where the dogs can talk, but the cats can't. And neither can the chickens or any of the other animals. So the only ones that can talk are the dogs.
Where are the chickens in Paw Patrol? It's about dogs.
You want me to drop you home?
No, the mayor has the Chicoletta, who's the chicken.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm not going to check when you're watching the next day. Chicoletta can't talk and dogs have to rescue a chicken. Dogs will eat the chicken.
I'm going to seriously think that sounds rivet.
Yeah.
It's better than Peppa Pig. And look, he just needs to, as Neil said, grow a pet.
I would say, Phil, just some practice.
Says me, he was completely whipped.
If Phil wants some practical advice, get a laptop, open it up, stick on Paw Patrol, or stick on the match. Using a very legal method of watching the match. Obviously, we wouldn't encourage any illegal methods at all. Like streaming.
I just think it's about picking your battles. Just pick your battles. If he's got, look, this is about this.
Get yourself a bullet for 2 weeks.
Look, you've got a couple of big games. You've got a big game there. You want to go out with the lads, enjoy the game. Take one for the team. Get this done.
Also he has to excuse them. Looks the last game of the season. Look, you've nine weeks now. Be grand.
Just ask her. Can he have his ball bag back off the mantelpiece?
Oh, hold on. It's the same time as the game.
Yeah.
Oh no, fuck.
That's what I'm talking about.
Put your foot down. That's it. Sorry, I just thought he wanted to get out of the party in general.
You're going
to
get battered when you get home.
Okay. Yeah,
No, the one rule I did say to me, missus, is I never miss a Liverpool game.
No, I know.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's fine.
Sorry.
Are you horny tonight or something? What's going on there?
What's Moreno got to do with this?
I just think of Jay getting bummed by his missus with his cap on here. One rule I did say to me,
that escalated quickly. I don't know where you're with Don. But no, I'm not going to say that.
Day when he dies.
There's an erogenous showing up there for a reason.
I don't want to know, mate. That's
one
an
last
point.
One last question. And this last week of weeks before of previews of matches, because it's the end of the season. It's the end of the season, lads.
It's the end of the trippers.
Could be the end of the trippers.
Are we doing a drunk trippers? Can we do a booze and trippers for the last one?
Yeah, we can do the last one. We're going to set fire to something.
Not my house. Not my fucking house.
We're definitely doing setting fire to something. Anyway, the most impressive number and kind of animal you think you could win in a fight if you had to push yourself to the limit. Examples being three swans or like 27 cats. So how many animals do you reckon you could take down?
So animal and number.
Yeah, and type of animal.
Swans are vicious, you know. Break I used to go feet.
Break your arm with a swing, I heard.
I love that.
It's an urban myth, isn't it?
I wouldn't
want to
fucking test it.
I wouldn't test it, but
I used to go fishing back in the day, and I used to have my sandwiches in a little box next to me fishing tackle thing. And the swans come over and they'll suss you out for about 5 minutes.
Eskimo like, swans, it's different.
They're like, I reckon I can take him. And they'll come over and they'll stare at you, and you're like, right, okay, it's on. And they'll just fucking run straight at you.
They were just people from Stoke, man.
I was 13, and this is the most embarrassing thing ever. My mum didn't like me going fishing on my own, so she bought me a rape alarm. My mates found the rape alarm, and they were like, Jake, why the fuck have you got a rape alarm in your fishing box?
Yeah. Oh my god, you have literally just handed the boys the nuclear device. You have handed over the big red.
The nuclear football has been handed
there's
over.
There's literally one big red button, and you had to give me the
room. All I heard there was Jay has a rape alarm in his pajamas. Anything else didn't happen.
I don't know about animals, but I'd say two Stoke fans. Have a decent knock off two Stoke fans. They are fucking animals, though.
Hills have eyes.
Me?
Neil, yeah.
This is just thinking about fishing. I got mugged when fishing.
You got mugged?
I went fishing up in the canal on my own up around the back of Ballyvermot, right? With me later. The new pair. I was about, hold on, a pair of, remember them orange Air Max when they came out first? Strutting out on my own, right?
To go fishing up
at
Air Max.
The back of Cherry Orchard in Ballyfermot, right?
Master stroke.
Got back
Neil
to the gap.
Neil was out taking drugs on the canal.
Oh, come here. I was only about 10 or 11. I got back to the gap.
Neil was out taking drugs on the canal.
Well, that way this is going. Is this where that saying comes from?
I got back
Bally
to the gap.
Runners, rob your runners.
I got back to the gap about 3 hours later with no shoes. They took me socks as well. I had to walk home with me bare feet.
The swans.
Yeah, the fucking swans. Anyway,
they were over for the summer.
I knew they had a permanent run.
Easy pickings here, lad. Look at this idiot.
He's not got a rape alarm, lad. All over that.
He's orange Air Max. What type of trabs are they?
I remember when they were having me running, I was thinking, Jesus, I'd love a fucking rape alarm right now.
My mum was onto something.
Yeah. So.
Setting you up there, Nilo.
This is kids' program.
So swans, Jay, three swans.
I'm gonna go with five monkeys.
I
think I could take five monkeys. Yeah.
Not a hope.
You don't think?
Not a hope.
Size of monkey though. Like
what type of monkey
like,
you go for?
You know, like they go for Michael Jackson used to have bubbles. I reckon I could take five.
Five chimpanzees.
Bubbles could have done better.
Yeah, I reckon I could take them.
People saying Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, but no, but then you're getting bigger then. Oh, no. I couldn't take a Caesar. What was his name? Caesar.
When you go home, look up, Google into, in Google, type in chimpanzee ate woman's face, right? And then tell me if you can take five chimpanzees.
Because there's going to be a YouTube video of a chimpanzee.
They eat faces.
He's a bit of a unit.
I'm telling you now.
Is he on bath salts?
Chimpanzees are the most one of the most vicious animals, and they have these large incisors and canine teeth that will actually rip the flesh off you. So you might want to go back and
might go back to swans.
You can always rape alarm, I'm Jack.
Rape alarm. Yeah, I can only do three. Thank you.
Chickens.
What's your number, though? Eh?
All day long, mate.
Because if there's a lot of
Johnny is the chicken annihilator. All day
chickens
long.
And affinity symbol. You can eat the cunts enough.
Do you know chickens and infinity.
Just kick the bollocks out of them. They've nothing.
If you put one moth in the room, I'm fucking gone. They are so unpredictable. Moths, you know the way they bash their head against the lightning?
Yeah, I think...
It's like us for the last 8 weeks until we played West Ham.
A moth and a life.
Nil all.
It's got 1-0. It's got 1-0.
This is the way out.
When's my night back?
Then the light goes off, it's gone. Turn it back on. There's the way out. Moths are awful thick, aren't they? Oh. Turn the light on.
They're horrible fucking things.
They are persistently stupid.
What animals do you not like, Phil?
I'll tell you one animal you won't take out. Like, one would do you. A wasp.
Do you want a story about a wasp?
Yeah.
You know, like back in the day when.
Does it involve a rape alarm?
Think this through, mate.
No, this one's alright. You know, back in the day when you used to neck on with birds and you used to like arrange to meet them at a certain spot?
Yeah, because there was no phones.
But, well, yeah, no, your mate will come over and go, do you want a neck on with me, mate? And you go, yeah, all right, yeah, where? Oh, around the bike sheds or whatever,
we
right?
We don't talk to that in Ireland, so...
Okay, do you want me to say it slower? Did you get it?
Sean, will you do some sign language
will
for listeners?
Will you meet me, mate?
Yeah.
Will you meet me, mate?
I just said, yeah.
So I was like, okay. So me and Helen, her name was, right? And, so yeah, around the back of the bike shed. So I was like, all right. Look, I was 15, you probably would have back in the day.
Go on.
So anyway, cut a long story short, I was walking to that moment where we're about to meet each other, and a wasp went down my school shirt and just kept repeatedly stinging me on my back, and I was like, whoa, fucking
Daniel Sturridge, Daniel Sturridge
doing the fucking Wally Adams. Never got a neck on it and had to go in because it got fucking 10 stings on the back.
I remember I got stung on the nipple. I told you that story before. I had a string vest on, yeah.
Yeah,
I got a string vest on.
Fucking rap scene,
that. Honest to God, that was doing me mad, but.
What a sting.
And I had two little brass tassels on it, right? It was a brown string vest, and with two little brass tassels and
was
a collar.
Was it fancy dress?
No, me mad bought me this, mate. No, I needed a right belay, but I hadn't got one. I was, no, my little tiny nipple.
Did you go outside the size of my stomach that?
We can just picture Phil. Just picture him now in his orange Air Max and his brown string up. walking around Cherry Orchard with a little.
Getting boomed with a beach castor and a real.
With that, forget the animals, we leave it at that. Good night. Okay, that was the pod, and big thanks and big shout out to the Astro Park for letting us stay here and do the podcast. And if we continue on with the podcast, maybe we'll stay here and do the podcast. I'll say the podcast again. If you want to come down to the Astro Park, they give the 5-a-side and the 7-a-side and the deal with the discount and all that type of thing. You've been listening for 4 years,
don't
you fucking know this.
Yeah,
as well down, especially if Jamie is going fishing. To Jamie's mad, that was an end. That's a fantastic show. He's never ever going to live that down.
Yeah,
she does. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was just to let her know you're coming home, so she get your man out of the gaff. Anyway, so big thanks to this week's sponsor. It was it was the lollipop lady that does the crossings there in the Salora Jewel carriage right at 9 o'clock in the morning. Fair play, thanks very much. Can't beat those people out every single day of the week. Looking after the kids crossing the road and just people who are going their way to work as well. They look after you, not a bother. So school wardens, thanks very much. Dublin County Council. And that was that. That was the podcast. One more to go. Well, there's one more to go with the end of the season, and then there's probably two more to go or one to go, and then a big decision is going to be made after that. Big decision. We're going to have a vote. It's going to be a ballot of sorts, and if only three turn up for the ballot, then it will be by majority rules. So, right. Good night, God bless. On to Middlesbrough. The lads said we definitely are winning this match. There's not a hope that we're going to drop points to the only team in the bottom three that we haven't dropped points to all season. So with that, cheery night. Good night and God bless.
They're playing to your man.
I used to see recruited him. He's a sleeper cell.
What happened to this?
He's a sleeper cell on the bike cycling.
Hey, did you see him?
What's that, Bren? Bren, look at that, Bren.
Imagine an execution video. Here we are now, my good friends. Now.